Well, we're going to hear from God's word in scripture now. We're going to read some verses from John chapter 8 and some from John chapter 9.
John chapter 8 from verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." The Pharisees replied, "You are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid." Jesus told them, "These claims are valid even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect, because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other." "Where is your Father?" they asked. Jesus answered, "Since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you'd also know my Father." Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. And then from the beginning of chapter 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Rabbi," his disciple asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. "This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbours and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I'm the one." They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And chapter 9 goes on for many more verses. John tends to have these long, almost rambling discussions about who Jesus is. So today we want to look at this idea of Jesus being the light of the world. Last week we were thinking about Jesus being the bread of life. If you missed that, the sermon is on the website. Something's been striking me this week as I've been looking at John's gospel, which is how often people got confused by Jesus. So often in John's gospel, Jesus says something and people just haven't got a clue what Jesus is talking about. And it reminded me of something that happened to me when I was a child. I guess I was about 7, 8, 9 maybe at the time. I can remember being in the church I was in as a child, and this boy sort of came up to me with this kind of slightly wicked grin on his face, and he has a Bible in his hand, and he has the Bible open at John chapter 1. And John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And he burst out laughing at this idea. He burst out laughing because it didn't make sense. It was just confusing to him. It was funny, to him, that something that seemed as silly as this could be in the Bible. And if you think that a statement that's, you know, the Word was with God and the Word was God is simple, then please explain it to me afterwards, because I don't think it's simple at all. I think John is sending us a flag very early on in his gospel to say to us, this gospel is not going to be as simple as you thought it was going to be. And I spoke a bit about that last week as well. But what I've been noticing this week is the number of people who get confused by Jesus. So Nicodemus in chapter 3 comes to Jesus and he says a few nice words to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, unless someone is born again, they can't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is left there just scratching his head. What are you talking about, Jesus? What, you think I've somehow got to get inside my mum's tummy and I've got to come out again? Not going to happen, Jesus. Jesus wasn't talking about that. But it wasn't going to be easy for Nicodemus to realize what Jesus actually was talking about. Last week, we looked at this story of Jesus providing the bread, the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus starts talking about giving his flesh for the light of the world, for the life of the world, rather. And the crowds think, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? In chapter 8, Jesus talks about going somewhere that they can't go. And Jesus' opponents actually think that Jesus might mean that Jesus is about to go off and kill himself. When Jesus is with his disciples, he says to them, you know the way to the place that I'm going. And the response is, no, we don't. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? There is just this confusion, the blind man. You know, where is this man who's cured you? I don't know. We know he's a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. What I do know is I was blind, but now I see. And it goes on all the way through until Mary Magdalene sees Jesus risen from the dead and thinks he is the gardener. John is saying to us in his gospel, if you want to get to know this man called Jesus, be prepared to have your mind stretched. Be prepared to have your heart stretched. Be prepared to hear him say stuff and you go, what? Really? I don't get that. I don't understand it. So today I want to try and say a few words about Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, and to try and give some idea of what Jesus is pointing to here. But no amount of words in a few minutes in a sermon can begin to unpack the reality of what Jesus is talking about. All I can say is, well, it's a bit like this. It's a bit like this. It's a bit like this. But the important thing is that we come to Jesus and that we grasp the reality, that we understand, that we get the experience that he is talking to us about. Sometimes when people get confused by Jesus, they just say, this is too difficult, and walk off. We were thinking about that last week when we were reading a story where many of Jesus' disciples left him. The other way of handling it is to say, well, give it to me simple. You know, this is the truth about Jesus. The problem with that is that once we try and simplify Jesus, we'll never get how wonderful he actually is. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world twice. He says it in both of the readings that we had today. The first time is in John's Gospel, chapter 8. And He says to them, where's it gone? Oh yeah, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. They will have this bright light shining that's going to show them how to live. It's the light of life. As I said last week, John's gospel spends every chapter, except possibly the last one, but certainly the first 20 chapters, just hovering around two themes. The first theme is Jesus is God's son, and that takes an awful lot of unpacking. What exactly do you mean, Jesus, when you say you're God's son? It's confusing. Well, John says, I've got 20 chapters on the subject. Have a look at them. And the other theme is that by believing Jesus, you get eternal life. A new type of life that you receive through believing in him. So it's not just light in terms of, oh, I need a bit of advice about what I need to do. It's light in the sense of just being drawn into something that is different to what we knew before. Right at the very beginning of John's gospel, in him was life. And that life was light for people. And the other text is in chapter 9 that we read together. Chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Whatever exactly it means, Jesus is making a huge claim about himself. Just like he was in what we looked at last week, I am the bread of life. He's saying, I am essential for eternal life. There is no way that eternal life comes through me. There is no way that it comes other than through me. And if we ask, why would that be? I think John would say, well, go back to the opening words of my gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this Word has become human. And John is just stretching to try and find some words that will help us to understand who Jesus is. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, it's linked to life. You cannot have life without light. Without light, a whole system of life would die. That's true of bread as well. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I am absolutely basic to eternal life. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, or I am the light of life, he says, he's saying, I am fundamental to you receiving the life that God wants to give. John says, very near the beginning of his gospel, that nobody has seen God. Nobody has. Except one. And he is the one who has the most intimate relationship with God possible. And he comes to share that relationship with us. And because light links to life, light also links to this whole idea of new birth. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Now, forgive me for doing a grandparent illustration here, but this really spoke to me, that when Izzy, our granddaughter, was born, we saw her a couple of days after she was born. What I'm describing now is nothing like what she is now. But in those days after she was born, I might be kind of making stuff up here because we couldn't talk at the time. But I think that she was very confused that she was out of the womb. And the thing that she wanted, apart from when she was screaming to be fed, was that she wanted to be held. And the moment that you stopped holding her, she screamed. Ruth and I just about managed to give them a quiet night by the tactic of basically just holding her for the whole of the night. What is this weird, strange world that I have come into? It was safe in there. It was simple. I had a food supply and it was all nice and comfortable. And then suddenly I got pushed out. And I'm in this weird environment that is scary. And Jesus says to us that this is the light of new birth. And one of my favorite comedians tells the joke where somebody said to him, have you ever been present at the birth of a child? And he said, yes, I have. And they said, well, what was it like? And he said, well, there was this sudden bright light, and then somebody was smacking me. But that shock of new birth. And Jesus says that what I'm offering you, it's worth celebrating. What I'm offering you is like birth. Out of darkness into light. And Jesus says that some people don't want to come out into the light. There's this sense that if I come to God, I will be exposed. Jesus says that some people prefer darkness to light because their deeds are evil. I heard a parent speak recently, and mum was expecting, she was due to give birth very soon. There was this sense of excitement. I am about to be introduced to my baby. And in new birth, we have this introduction to God. We come out into the light, and God sees us, and we see God. And sometimes we want to hang back from being seen by God because we think, what's God going to say about me? Is God going to accept me? Yes, he does. There is no need for fear in terms of coming to God, because God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And Jesus says, if you follow me, you will have the life of the light of that life. I don't know why this looking at this passage this week has sort of brought me back to childhood memories, but it brought me back to my teenage years. And for a few years, the church that I was in had a very fiery preacher. The sort of preacher you can only really do with a Scottish accent. And I can remember him preaching on this, and he got to the line where Jesus says, you must be born again. And he said, right, how do I say it to you in a way that you're going to understand? And I remember him going, you must, you must. And he sort of looked down like this and he went, you must. And he said, you must in every way. That it was, or it seemed like any way it was possible to say the words, you must. Jesus says, I call you out of darkness into my wonderful life. And it's the light of resurrection from the dead. Jesus says, and this is linked to the idea of light a couple of times in John's gospel, if you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am who I claim to be. People take Jesus and they put him in a cross. And John's gospel calls this the night. It calls it the darkness. It's human rebellion against God. It's people saying, we would rather live in darkness than live in the wonderful light that God has for us. But Jesus sees it, yes, as darkness that he has to enter into. But he also sees it as them somehow enthroning him. You are lifting me up. You are sending me up to the throne of God, from which, at which I will be glorified, and from which I will give my life to the whole of the world. We don't know where you're going, Lord, the disciples say to him, and Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place where you can live. This is beyond human explanation. The role of the preacher is not to make it simple. The role of the preacher is not to try and present it in a way that isn't confusing. The role of the preacher is to say, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, because he is the one who gives this eternal life. And just as to the baby in the womb, what is about to happen when they come to life must be incomprehensible. So what is being offered to us is way beyond our understanding. We thought a bit earlier on in the service about the detail of that story of Jesus healing the blind man. Somebody registered a bit of surprise that Jesus took some dirt and spat in it and made mud and put it in the man's eye and then told him to wash it off. What's going on here? I think part of what it's saying to us is that to live in the eternal life that God offers, we have to do something. Jesus could easily have gone to this man and said, eyes, open up. He does stuff like that in other stories in the Bible, so we know he can do it. But it's really important that this man does something. So Jesus puts the mud onto his eyes and he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He doesn't even say, right, here's some water, wash it here. He gives him a bit, it's not that far, but he gives him a bit of a journey to do, and he says, go there. And the man goes, and he does what Jesus tells him to do, and suddenly he can see. And as far as his physical sight is concerned, he is in this bewildering world that's nothing like what he has been in before. And Jesus calls us to believe today. And he's done everything for us. He's done everything so that we can see what we need to see. He's done everything to call us out of darkness into the wonderful light of God. But it's down to us to say yes to it. My imagination wonders if Jesus was thinking about baptism at this point. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't, but he's certainly pointing to the thing that baptism is a sign of. Passing from one life into another. And at the very end of John chapter 9, when people have decided that Jesus is the baddie and not the goodie in the middle of this, Jesus says to them, well, if you didn't see, that would be okay. You know, if you were blind, if you didn't see what God was bringing to you, well, that would be okay. You know, I'm using my own words here, but basically God can handle that. But if you claim that you can see when you can't, you're guilty. He says, if you are looking at what I've done, and that's this discussion that we had at the readings with the I lost my train of thought there, where people are sort of saying to Jesus, what you're saying is not valid, it's not good. Jesus says, if you knew me, you'd know my Father as well. If you know me, you'd know the one who I'm pointing to. And Jesus says to these people, if you can't see that I come from God, given all that you've seen today, there really is nothing that I can do for you. If you're going to miss something, because something in this is obvious, and something is clear, and something is not confusing, which is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, believe in him. And he's the one who gives eternal life. So he says, he challenges this man who has been blind, do you believe in me? And this man bows down before Jesus and he worships him. And that's why we've come here today. We're going to take bread and wine in a moment or two. But wherever you are at in the faith journey today, I encourage you to come and to worship this God who shines up his light in our lives.